Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's getting pretty tough coming up with new illnesses. It's a little childish, but then so is high school.
Annie, you're not going to school like this.
Call if you need us.
They bought it. How could I possibly be expected to handle school on a day like this?
Bueller.
Cameron Dave.
Get dressed and come on over.
Bueller.
He has been absent 9 times.
Bueller.
My father spent 3 years restoring this car.
Ooh. I guess that's my dad. What are we gonna do?
What aren't we going to do?
Why should he get to ditch?
Something's going on. St. Paris?
Bueller. I hate him.
Life moves pretty fast.
You're crazy!
If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
He's very popular, Ed. They think he's a righteous dude.
I assume they were there for a full-on gangbang. Welcome to Recap and Gown, the podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I am your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he sings like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. They still make Schlitz in the tall cans. I understand it's censored.
I was going to say, it's weird that it's blurred on your end.
But I'm not sure why, but it's just too good, so they can't show it to you, can't make it happen. I was at Costco. I think you're good. if you're like an old style, like hams, like I don't care what it tastes like, just give me a lot of them for $4. These are good. It goes really well with Malort. So
nothing goes well with Malort.
Schlitz does.
Drinking that.
Schlitz does. I was at Costco the other day and they had a new dessert that I tried that I really enjoyed. Reese's came out with these bananas wrapped in peanut butter and chocolate.
Oh, Jesus.
In the frozen section.
That's fucking decadent.
And I said, I love all those things. And I'm glad to report, as advertised, delicious. Very, very good. So if you like those combinations, if it's from Costco, they'll probably have it for a week. So by the time you hear this, they'll be gone.
It's gone.
You won't be able to get them.
It's gone.
Maybe if you're lucky.
Let me ask you a question about Schlitz. Did Schlitz, were they the ones that had the Blue Ox back in the day, or was that somebody else?
Blue Ox? I thought that was Hams. But
no, because Hams had the bear. My dad used to, when we were in California, so prior to like 89, he had a malt liquor of choice that had a Blue Ox on the can. I thought that was Schlitz. Maybe it was Schultz ever a thing?
Schultz.
Similar. It might be the same.
Well, it's probably from the makers of Schlitz.
The important part is call my dad and find out what's going on with his beer from back in the day.
I don't know, man.
We'll get to the bottom of it. Flying solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief truancy and trivia correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana?
Not much. Have you guys watched American Nightmare on Netflix?
Fuck yeah. And it's exactly what I expected it to be.
I am a listener to the Criminal podcast, and they did a deep dive on it a few years ago, and I listened to it, and I'm like, that's a crazy story. Forgot about it, and then they're like, watch it in video form, and I'm like, I'm in, because I'd forgotten, and it's wild, crazy.
It was wild.
Yeah.
Like, wild. Listeners, I should just check it out. But it is like, I need to rewatch the part about the FBI agent in like the third one, because I kept falling asleep. But I was just like, wow, they did no copping. Like, they did no copping. They no investigation.
Didn't even try to cop.
No policing. Just, yeah.
Like, just, hey, man, here's what happened to me. No, it didn't, you piece of shit. You may want to check.
Like, maybe, you, I mean, lying son of a bitch.
Well, like, what got me, there was that part where he's like, yeah, they set a camera up in my room. Just go to his fucking room and see if it's there. Like, at least if you look and see if there's a camera in there.
I think there was a part where they said, if you stick with the story, I'm going to make you look so bad. I'm like, what? Really?
No, not
what?
Even that. He was like, my job is to try to figure out how to put the puzzle pieces together to turn you into a monster. It's not even like, oh, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Like, no, I'm going to make you, my job is to make you look as bad as possible. Like, that's not your job.
No, Schlitz, it's small liquor. Crimes.
Yeah, it should be justice in the American way and all, but these guys,
I mean,
these guys.
Unreal. Wild. And it's one of those where it's like, I don't know how anyone can watch that and give the police the benefit of the doubt in anything ever again. Because I'm just like, if you would have done the minimal amount of police work, you probably could have helped this lady out quite a bit.
Well, yeah. That's like, you get an, oh, sorry, leaning on my keyboard. You get another set of cops that are like, maybe we should cop. And they figure it out. But the first set are like, fuck no, you guys are liars. Have you seen that movie Gone Girl? Okay, we did too.
Right. We saw Gone Girl. Same thing, huh? Even though
she's like, this is, she's not like what attractive happened in Gone Girl. She's a Gone Girl. I'm like, no, that's not what happened at all. She was a psychopath.
And the craziest part is, if you've seen Gone Girl,
yeah,
he didn't do it. Like, the whole premise of Gone Girl is he didn't actually do it. They're like, no, this is like Gone Girl, except we're going to treat you the way they treated Ben Affleck and like ignore that last 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. They're like, we saw the trailer.
Yeah.
We didn't see the movie.
I read a blurb. I got it. I figured it out. Just like,
you did
watch
this.
The movie and say, okay, he didn't do this. Like, that's the whole point of the movie.
No, the thing that's like the wildest part that I found was that, like, the guy who winds up, sorry for folks who haven't seen it, but still, you should watch it. Because I had the whole thing described to me and then went and watched the documentary. Is that you find out that this dude, they knew somebody was creeping around their neighborhood already.
Yeah.
Creeping and creeping and creeping. He was creeping everywhere.
In what is a small neighborhood. So it's not like he's creeping in neighborhood.
No, it's,
where everyone's,
it's literally a small, like,
it's a block.
Island right next to Vallejo island. Across from, it's tiny.
Yeah.
It's a former like military housing where they have like, it's.
You could have found this guy if you would have looked at all.
Itty bitty place. This tiny island. Like, some guy fucking around in the area. We're just not, we're not going to do it.
No.
It's not the same.
Not our problem.
And Schlitz Malt Liquor has a blue ball, a bull.
There you go. Okay.
And there is, and Schlitz makes a malt liquor. Didn't know that.
There you go.
Gonna well, get speaking some
of, do they make like a light beer? I remember drinking those in college, like one reading break. We like couldn't go home because the reading break was in the fall. So we like stayed on campus and like all the beer was out. So we had to just go to like the local gas station and like the frat we were hanging out, I think, had to buy like flats of Schlitz. So I've drinking some Schlitz in my day. I think it was a keg of it, actually, which is
it's good
illegal on campus.
That sounds like a dream to me. It sounds great.
Keg of Schlitz. Speaking of sounds like a dream, what are we watching? Where can we get it? And what is it about?
From 1986, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Paramount Plus. If you got it, you're doing good. You gotta pay everywhere else. Amazon, everywhere else. iTunes, YouTube. If you do Google Play, Microsoft Store, DirecTV, AMC Theaters on Demand. But yeah, Paramount Plus. Enjoy. But it's not the extended version. There are two different versions. There's like an hour and 45-minute version with a bunch of extra stuff in it. The regular version is a taut 90 minutes.
Oh, I watched the extended version. Turns out.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, you can add in anything. Yeah, that was the longer version. But Let's see. Synopsis via Rotten Tomatoes. Ferris Bueller has an uncanny skill at cutting classes and getting away with it. Intending to make one last duck out before graduation, Ferris calls in sick, borrows a Ferrari, and embarks on a one-day journey through the streets of Chicago. On Ferris's trail is high school principal Rooney, determined to catch him in the act.
Pretty much sums it up. That kind of nails it. Dana, if you could give us a rundown of who's in this movie.
Yes. So the titular Ferris Bueller is played by Matthew Broderick. Alan Ruck plays Cameron Fry. Mia Sara plays Sloane Peterson. Jeffrey Jones plays Ed Rooney.
Cancel his ass.
And when you watch this movie, you're like, God, what would we... Anyway, okay.
This and also Coneheads. You watch this too. I'm like, we should have known.
We should have known.
There were signs.
Yeah. Jennifer Grey is Jeannie Bueller. Cindy Pickett is Katie Bueller. Lyman Ward is Tom Bueller. Edie McClurg is Grace. We got Charlie Sheen pops up as a boy in the police station. Ben Stein is the economics teacher. Del Close, which I didn't realize who that was, is the English teacher.
More later from him. He's fascinating guy.
Christy Swanson pops up as Simone. She just tells, you know, someone. Paris is sick.
Okay.
And then I'll go with one more person. Of Richard Edson is the garage attendant. Otherwise, this is a pretty light cast.
He's got one of those faces. He's got, I mean, a classic character actor face on that guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go around the horn and give some memories of the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
I definitely didn't see it when it came out because I would have been 3. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing with like a lot of like the teen John Hughes movies. Like I didn't see as a kid because I just think like I was young when they first came out and like they weren't really in my brother's wheelhouse. That was more like Bloodsport, Von Damme movies, that kind of thing. Yeah. I watched a lot of that with my brother.
Teen, right? We can do Bloodsport for the podcast.
Oh no.
No.
Frank Dukes was not a teen.
So I don't think I saw this stuff until I was like in high school. So like when you're like the right age for it. So I'm thinking like sophomore or junior year of high school is the first time I saw Ferris Bueller. And I think it at the time and for a while, it's my favorite John Hughes movie.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, how about you?
It was the first John Hughes movie I saw. I think I was 11. My buddy Garrett Smith.
Garrett E. B.
Smith. I think he had an older brother, like a significantly older brother. So he got all the cool music, all the cool movies. He's like, you know, watch this movie. It's actually really funny. And then we had a sleepover with a bunch of people and we watched it. And I didn't get a lot of the jokes at the time, but still thought it was funny. And I rewatched it at a more appropriate age. Yeah. Good.
Okay. Yeah. I think we all kind of watched it roughly around the same time. I remember in 8th grade, our English teacher made a reference. I think she might have just said like Bueller, and nobody reacted to it. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? Mm-hmm. She was not fun, by the way, but this is like the one fun moment she ever had. Mm-hmm. So then she was like, well, it's from this movie, Ferris Bueller. Like, it's a Chicago movie. You guys should all see it. She didn't like show it to us in class, obviously. But I remember like the next time we had a sleepover and there was a bunch of us that were in the class together, we rented it to watch. And I was like, you oversold it. Like I didn't get it at the time. Basically, I'm like, go to school. Like, what are you doing skipping school? I was the black kid from Good Boys. So I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to get caught. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know how many times I've seen it since then. A lot of times looking back, it's probably also my first John Hughes movie. I need to think about it, but it probably is. So there we go. Dana, did it make the grade or should they have held this one back?
Your favorite John Hughes movie? Well, at the time, like, I don't know if it's my favorite one now. I think there's a lot more that maybe I would want to review. I think since we've now watched most of them. Yeah, I think it used to like vacillate between like, I thought I loved Breakfast Club. And then I saw this one and was like, oh, this one might be like more fun. As an adult, I watched it It was still fine. I just think you realize that, like, Ferris is kind of a jerk.
Complete dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dickhead. So I think you're just kind of like, come on, Ferris. Like, don't be an ass. So I think that's the only thing. Like, with age comes, like, wisdom, perspective, and you're just like, this guy's kind of an asshole. Still asshole. Fine. Still fun. There's not a lot going on in the movie, so you're just kind of like, I want to do this. It'd be a great day. But, yeah, I think it's still, like, still definitely a B overall.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
And between Breakfast Club and this one, it's usually my one and two back and forth. Still good. Chicago, perfect. It's tough to do all those things in one day. I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, you can't. But I mean, it's these kids. No,
it's a flight of fancy. It's a film, so they got away with it. That's fun. Mm-hmm. The stuff with the car, very funny. the last sequence, the little race home. That's hilarious. That song playing at the end.
I didn't realize how long the intro to that song was. It goes on for a long time before it starts.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff here. Actually, some laughs. Still appreciate it. B plus, A minus. Excellent.
Okay, yeah. I think we're all in agreement here. This makes the grade. I got, you know, there are some problems that I have. Specifically, like Dana said, the guy's a dick. Like, I have a very hard time cheering for a movie where I like legit dislike the main character. I dislike him a lot. It's a combination of like gets away with everything, but also the unreasonable cockiness of like a 17-year-old boy. Where I'm like, dude, no. Like, I hope you get caught. I hope something bad happens to you for how cocky you are right now. So that didn't really land for me. But, you know, like Dave said, perfect Chicago movie. See a lot of familiar sights. Fun to see Chicago in this era because I was not living in the city at this time. So fun to see it when it was still kind of gross, I would say. Like a gross place.
No Millennium Park. There's that first shot at the beginning. I'm like,
there should be a big-ass park right there.
Bean in there. Yeah, it's not there. It's not there. It's weird.
Yeah, no, it is weird to see it back then. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I laughed enough times to like it. So I don't want to, you know, rate it among the John Hughes movies, but I thought it was good. Having not seen it for like 15 years to watch it again. Before we jump into the recap and the segments, we have any memories or I'm sorry, any fun facts on this movie?
To produce the desired drugged out effect for his role as the drug addict in the police station, Charlie Sheen stayed awake for more than 48 hours before the scene was shot. He also did a bunch of drugs and stayed out all night.
That was no one needed that. You basically have like
he played himself. Lines.
You play you're not even doing anything drugged out. You're just like a regular guy.
Apparently, the original cut of the film was 2 hours and 45 minutes, and there's a there's a big Charlie Sheen part. Like Ferris tries to help him out, get him off drugs, and like put him on the straight and narrow and stuff. There's a lot of stuff that got taken out of this
Lord
movie.
Of the Rings length version of this movie. I didn't need that.
But instead, he just ends up in the police station talking to Jennifer Grey. And that's
fine with
that's
that.
Still pretty good.
Jesus.
So the actors that played Ferris's parents actually got married in real life. They got divorced later, but I thought that was kind of cute. That's cute. Other actors for Ferris. It's a who's who. Anthony Michael Hall got offered it, obviously, because he gets offered every main role in John Hughes movie. He turned it down. He was busy with other projects. Jim Carrey, John Cusack, Johnny Depp, George Clooney, Tom Cruise, and Michael J. Fox.
Jim Carrey would be insane this role. I don't want to see that. He's too animated.
I think Ferris talking with his butt would be pretty funny.
But like not back then. That's like the Once Bitten. You ever watch it? He's pretty.
I'm aware of it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay. Next Halloween, I'm picking Once Bitten. That's one of my favorites.
John Cusack would have been good for the accent of it all. This is Chicago accent's pretty great. Johnny Depp, no. I don't need the wrong energy. I don't think of George Clooney being a teen.
Cameron, can we take your father's car with my scarves?
It'd be that. I don't need that version of this movie. I know. I mean, George Clooney was in Bosom Buddies or is that Tom Hanks?
Facts of Life. Tom Hanks was
Roseanne. This is before Roseanne, though.
Yeah, so like, yeah, I don't think of teen George Clooney being a thing. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise,
he was pretty old, even on Facts of Life.
Yeah,
that's a grown ass man.
Well, I mean, this was Tom Cruise. Was this before or after The Outsiders? Because he looked bad in The Outsiders.
After,
like he
after.
I hope he got some face work done. He looked bad in that movie.
He did some football movie that was big.
All the Right Moves.
All the Right Moves.
Paid for Ampipe.
So he had some heat.
Yeah, and Michael J. Fox, of course, always.
I thought Michael J. would have been great.
He'd have been great in this.
He'd have won a lot of money after. Well, this was filming while they were filming. Actually, the first two Back to the Futures, because apparently they did them one right after another. So
I think he'd be better than Matthew Broderick in this. Matthew Broderick doesn't. He doesn't ever charm me. Like, I've never been charmed by him. But like Michael J. Fox, fucking charming. He'd be more of like a rogue than a cad. I look at Broderick, I mean, you cad.
Two short bros, man.
Yeah.
Short bros. So there was do you know that there was a TV series in the early 90s? Jennifer Aniston was in it. She played the Jennifer Grey role for a season. It lasted for a season, 13 episodes, and then got clipped.
Isn't Parker Lewis Can't Lose the same thing?
Yep. Probably.
Yeah. Like, I think if that be the exact, it's a Ferris Bueller TV show.
Yeah. So, and there's and they're developing a spinoff film as of right now with the two valets and the Ferrari. They're going to do a movie about what they did.
I want it to be those two actors.
Oh, well, this role. One died in 2018. The other is 70 years old. So I don't think that'll.
I want it even more than being 70. How much fun would that be?
And Ben Stein, that was a real lecture because he knows a lot about economics.
Yeah,
and
worked for Nixon.
And the kids were bored to laughter, apparently.
Well, I believe that.
They thought it was funny. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into the recap and the segments here then. Dave, where do you want to get us started?
My senior year, I missed a lot of school. I know that you are a good boy, Brian. You did not miss any school. You love school. Dana, I'm guessing similar. Maybe you missed a lot of school. No.
school missers. I'd go. I would go all the time during sports season, winter. Mm. Real hit or miss if I was like, hey, mom, can I stay home?
My mom was a teacher. I better have Ebola and no access to a hazmat suit if I'm going to be going to skipping school.
That was the old school. That was the old school teacher way. It's like, we need to give these kids somewhere to go.
Yeah.
No matter, neither rain, no snow, not anymore. They're like,
get your ass in the classroom.
So I missed school like 20 times because senior year was not into it. I was over it. It was more than 9 times, but
there I was in class. A jackass.
I occasionally had to kind of lay it on thick. Like, I would, try to make my voice like, try to have a scratchy throat of some sort. Like, I would spray. I had Benoc, and I would spray like directly into my throat to try and irritate it, make it all red. And,
just act congested. Just talk and like my nose doesn't
work
right now.
And I learned from this movie, just lick your palms and just you kind of like this. And it usually works because I just didn't feel like it. So that part. I never did anything fun though. I just,
no one would. Like, if you're skipping school, just kick it at your house and relax.
Yeah, that's the part that I never thought. It was just a reason to like watch Oprah or something, or daytime TV or something, just to not be in school. Do anything else.
I think about days where I skipped work when we were living together. I used to call in sick to that job I hated all the time. Like, even then, I wasn't ever doing anything fun. I'll call in sick to work and then just like smoke a blunt and kick it on the couch all day. Like, I'm not running around town doing fun shit.
Yeah, because you're more likely to get caught if you do stuff like that. Someone will see effort. You.
I call it insane because I don't want to do anything. That's the whole point.
It does take effort, and that's no problem for Ferris. He's willing to put in the effort. There's a funny line. The dweebies and the dickheads think he's a righteous dude.
Yeah, the dweebies and the dickheads.
You can get Edie McClure to say pretty much anything. The Bloods. I'm like, you got Bloods at this school? What's going on?
Bloods.
They got blood. They do not have Bloods at Shermer High School, but it's
no, not Deerfield, whoever the fuck they're at.
Dickheads. But yeah, everyone loves him. Well, yeah. except his sister, maybe like actually, you know what? I think it's just his sister at that entire school. Everyone seems to be on his side. Everybody loves him. Confident to the point of annoying.
I was annoyed.
He's one of those guys who's just like says, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. He's one of those I'm gonna do it and I'll apologize later if I have to.
Yeah.
But I might not even do that.
And it's gonna be a disingenuous apology. It's not gonna be sincere at all.
Yeah. He's a know-it-all, but he's also smart because you see his grades on the screen for a second if you pause it. Mm-hmm. It's like A's and B pluses, man. He's doing
smart kid.
I was like, calculus, you're getting an A minus and like a B plus.
Not my ass.
You're fucking killing it. Take the day. You're fine. Pretty spoiled. All that technology in his room.
Yeah.
Very impressed.
And still complaining about it. Asked for a car, got a computer.
Yeah. Well, that was very interesting because these days kids don't want to learn how to drive.
No.
They don't want to bother. Now it's but back then it's like it's the end all be all. It's pure unadulterated freedom. If you have your own freedom, you have to call bumming rides to people like your buddy Cameron to come pick you up, do all that stuff. But the doorbell recording, having that set up, and then somebody pushes the button. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
That's
a lot.
That mannequin on a pulley system, fascinating.
That's a lot.
Why? With the tape playing, with the like a little bit of and he has the keyboard that makes six sounds. So when he calls people, he's like, I don't know.
And see, at this point, I'm thinking they didn't get started until fucking noon. He had to rig up pulleys, program the doorbell and shit.
Well, he's doing all that while he's waiting for like Cameron to come around, is my thought.
Showering. Also, he's covering his own eyes when he's washing his gooch. It's really
weird.
That part was fascinating. I'm like, why are you doing that? I don't know.
So wait, are we believing like because all the technology and stuff that so this is is this post-war games for Matthew Broderick? It is. But like we believe Ferris Bueller can hack into this, like how is he updating his like days off, like how is he getting into the school? Like, do we press too hard or just
like that? Okay. I think it was an era where not everyone had a home computer yet, so we didn't realize that it wasn't just like a magic box that can do whatever it wanted to do. It's very much the way they treat hacking and hackers. You can just do anything with a computer.
Clack, clack, clack.
I'm in, and that's all you have to do.
Yep. Okay. You got to plug it into the phone. You got to do all sorts of shit to be able to hack things. Break into places and be able to change your grid as someone's looking at it, and you can't just like, and you can't just press one thing. You have to hit the down arrow, so it goes 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. That was fun too. That's very weird. His one of the lines he says is, "You can never go too far. You should just do it." And he does. He definitely does. Key to faking out your parents, fake a stomach crank. Bend over while you're doing that. Let out a big wail, lick your palms. It's a non-specific symptom. Hopefully it's enough to let your mom keep you home, but not end up in a doctor's office. Cause that happened to me a couple of times senior year when my mom's like worried about you taking you to the doctor. I'm like, it's not going to be anything. You're going to make me go to school in the afternoon if we do that. So I'll just go forget it.
To get or actually get sick, go ahead and lick your palms. It's a great way to actually get sick.
All sorts of gross.
Get a real disease that way.
Well, you like to wash your hands and then lick them.
Just wash them hot. Just wash them in hot water and then like let them air dry. They'll be clammy as fuck.
Oh yeah,
you could.
Yeah,
yeah. Mom and dad seem very nice, successful professionals. I think his dad's in advertising, mom's in real estate. I get why he has all the gadgets and stuff, trying to buy his love while they work their lives away.
Yep, they seem rich.
80s, yeah. It's a nice house. The dad's car is pretty lame. I know it's an Audi, and that's probably a $90,000 car back then.
Yeah, it looks like shit.
Pretty awful looking. That's It is what it is. That was a very expensive sports car back in the day. But they trust him because I would trust him too after seeing his grades and stuff. And they don't know how many days he's actually missed, apparently.
They have no idea.
So, yeah, he gets away with anything. They're much tougher on the sister because everything seems to fall on her. Like, she'll try to get away with something or try to do something and get caught, and it'll be the worst thing ever.
It just seems they don't like her.
Yeah.
They just don't like her.
At the end of the day, maybe we should kill her because we should kill her. Awesome deal. I'm like, okay.
Cross her out the Vermont deal. Whatever. You're in Chicago. Why are you doing Vermont real estate?
Yep.
Well, it was people. I guess
maybe they came in from Vermont. Vermont. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Not in Vermont.
Yes. I guess that could be the point. Yeah.
Yeah. So life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. So we're supposed to think he's profound. He's not.
No. Mm-hmm. That's not a
douche.
It's not that profound.
But,
you mean
but he says that a couple. It makes you think. He's living, man. He's
L-I-V-I-N.
So he gets his day off. He's hanging out. He starts off in the backyard because he doesn't have to be conspicuous. Apparently, everyone's at work. He doesn't have to worry about anybody seeing anything. Delivery people, nothing. Fenced in backyard. Has a really nice tiki mug. Calls his buddy and says, hey, you got a car? You got to come pick me up. We got to go do stuff. And his buddy's this hypochondriac fella named Cameron. Ferris doesn't say very nice things about Cameron.
No, he doesn't like him.
Just calls him tight, says something about a diamond in his ass.
Yeah, he stick a lump of coal up his ass and turn into a diamond.
You're not dying. You just can't think of anything good to do. I'm like, I think Cameron's got some like real problems.
He seems actually sick.
It seems like trivializing a lot of his pain, but that's neither here nor there. He's kind of a weenie too. I got Cameron problems as well, but he wears both a belt and suspenders, which drives me crazy. Need to do that.
Pick one or the other. You don't need a belt.
I thought, is that a new wave thing? Is that something that they did?
The skinny suspenders style? In general were, and I probably, he dresses like a new wave kid. So I guess so.
Yeah. But he does seem sickly. His complexion, he's rather pale.
Yeah.
But it's more of a hypochondriac kind of a thing. And he's like, when Cameron was in Egypt's land, because he's dramatic too.
Uh huh.
He's a drama king.
By Cameron Go.
But and then you see his house. I'm like, he lives in a nice house too, but in a very different way. It's like a modern art piece, like a Mies van der Rohe or
A lot of glass everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Just everything's breakable. If you step on the ground the wrong way, your foot falls through and everything. Yeah. You have to step in very carefully in that particular place. Dad's a car collector.
Like extended over a ravine also. Yeah. So like, that's not safe. You know,
those classic Chicago ravines. Yeah. Got them everywhere.
Yep. Yeah.
For our ravines.
There are a couple of places where there are ravines. You shouldn't build houses there. Dad's a car collector. Prime, his prize of his collection is a 1961 Ferrari 250 GT California Spider. It's a very beautiful car, bright red. Doesn't even drive it. Rubs it with a diaper.
Weird.
Only 100 ever made. That's,
I mean,
I think he meant like a cloth diaper because they're meant to be softer when you like.
I suppose not like they make specific things for that. They make like specific car rubbing cloths.
Yeah,
you probably maybe not 1986. I don't know.
Diapers just all over the fucking place.
I'm only gonna trust what I put on a baby's bottom. That's what I trust. And they have to take it. There's no choice. They call Mr. Rooney to try to get Sloan out of school, and he pretends to be Mr. Peterson and fucks up. He's like, I want you standing outside in front of the school, Sloan. I come to pick up. I'm like, why would you do that?
Call me, sir.
God damn it. You're an asshole.
I wanted him to do it so many more times in this movie. He does it 1.5 times. But like, no, keep doing that shit all the time.
This is Sergeant Peterson.
makes me very happy.
But yeah, Mr. Rooney thinks it's Ferris, and then Ferris actually calls it. I was wondering if you could have my sister bring home my assignment. Like, have a nice day. Mm-hmm. this gets, but yeah, screws up. So now they have to show up in front of the school with a car that's not a, he drives like a Yugo or something.
If that's a real Yugo, like Jesus Christ,
it's some kind of little something or other.
It's a hunk of shit. Yeah.
And the first thing that I think is, okay, if you're going to take this car, take it to the school, bring it right back, and then drive around in the piece of shit for the rest of the day, right? That would make the most sense.
That's the move.
But they're kids, and what do I always say? Kids are
dumb.
Fucking stupid. And even though these kids are smart kids. I think that they're smart. They're book smart.
But
they make very, very bad, dumb decisions. Even though Cameron offers, like, I'll pay for a stretch limo with a TV and a bar. How does that sound?
It makes stretch a, jag.
He does a very weird voice there too. A nice stretch job with a TV and a bar.
He's doing a lot of, he's making choices.
Yeah. He is, but, well, and he just turns, and Ferris tells him to live a little. I'm like, Ferris,
this is not your car, Ferris. I mean, we smoked weed in Bobby Clausen's dad's Jag one time. That felt very illegal. Like, we didn't leave the garage. We just smoked in the car. My mom calls it grass. I'm just like, all right. But like, yeah, that was just...
You just sat in the car. Why did you just sit in the car?
Because I think Bobby loves getting in trouble, I would imagine. I would never do some shit like that in my parents' car. But yeah, we just... I think we just like had a bowl in the car and then went back into the house to hang out for the rest of the night. Like, I don't know why we did that, but it was a move that he's like, I do it all the time. And I'm like, you shouldn't. Don't do that.
Sit anywhere else. Was like the garage crowded?
Or... No, it was just me and him. His parents, I think, were even like out of town. So like,
so I just meant like, was the...
In the garage. Oh no, that garage was immaculate.
Cluttered?
No.
Like, was there nowhere else to sit?
The garage is immaculate. Like... No, the backyard is open, the front, the inside of the house. I think he just liked to get in trouble or like risk being in trouble. I don't get
it. You could have gone and smoked weed on the 7th green at White Eagle, which was in the backyard if you wanted to.
Sure, could have.
Didn't. You would have been fine, but you didn't.
Didn't do that.
I remember when we took pitching wedges and just destroyed that backyard one evening.
Man,
just
I tried telling him I can't make contact with the ball. I'm gonna fuck your yard up. It's okay. Blame Marie's friends, and that's what he did.
Yeah, and
he blamed Marie's friends.
I don't know why we did that, but we definitely did that.
Yeah, did the hell out of that.
Also, things just on the fact that kids are dumb. He's like, we'll just rewind.
Oh, we'll roll it
that part.
Roll it back.
That part was especially because let me tell you when I first saw this movie when I was like 10 or 11, I'm like, oh yeah,
of course, that'll do it.
You put the miles on, you can take them off. Uh-huh. That's how life works. If you walk backwards, you get younger, so it's fine.
That's right.
No,
that's my experience.
No,
you got to bust it open and roll that odometer back with like a drill or some shit.
So yeah, they're also taking a Ferrari to Chicago because that's really, really fucking smart. And on their tail is Mr. Rooney, played by Jeffrey Jones.
Yikes.
He's not a fan of Ferris. He's suspicious from the beginning, and he's right about everything. He gets everything right. How he goes about trying to prove it is criminal and stupid, but
also negligent. He has a job.
Yeah,
he was right about everything. Job.
He's like, I'm just gonna be off campus for 5 hours. If that's
for
okay,
the whole day.
Is that cool? From like 10 a.m. on, he's gone. He's nowhere to be found.
One kid,
right? I think he leaves his. Edie McClurg is the principal while he's gone.
Principal, I think. Yeah.
He's not the principal. Isn't he the dean of students?
Oh,
he's not the principal.
Is that right?
Yes.
So acting dean Edie, I suppose.
Ed Rooney.
Yeah,
it's like some fancy title to basically just be like you're the attendance guy.
We had deans. I think we had a principal too. Wasn't Kathy Burkett our principal, or was she something else?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
She was principal, and
never saw her, but I believe she was
dean.
There was
a principal, vice principal, and a bunch of deans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, that was good. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. and he's foiled at every turn. He can't catch a break, but yeah, he also does some illegal shit, so he kind of deserves to get caught. But so he has his own day off or baby's day out or whatever you want to call it. Goes to like some pizza place, sees someone wearing a similar jacket, turns out to be a a lady, because fashion back then, you know, it's very.
Yeah, it could be either way.
He was giving just one of the guys.
I thought it was going to be her.
Oh, I saw like,
oh, that's going to be just one of the guys.
And then she's going to open her jacket. I'm like, no. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was also her until she turned all the way around.
Right.
Yeah. Spits
soda in his face. I'm like, that's going to be. He starts off sticky like right away. And that's terrible.
She basically had to wind up for it. He could have gotten out of the way.
Yeah. He could see what's coming and he still just takes it. Again, mm-hmm. He's a creep.
In the face. Yeah. What he's into.
In the face. No, he goes to the doorbell and he hears the recording. At first, like he goes through the entire recording. He's like, yep, that was definitely him. Let me just ring it again, see if I can convince him. And I was like, oh, hello. And it's the same thing. He's still listening to it, but he's like, wait a minute. Yeah, it takes way too long. Stands up on like a sprinkler head and then breaks it off and foot goes fully into the mud. And it's just all terrible just and gross.
Fucking up the Bueller's house.
Seriously, like, just ruining their entire yard.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's
spraying like, the hose everywhere and shit.
I'm not sure if he like cut his foot, but he's like injured. He's limping around like crazy.
What he like turned his ankle or something?
He's fully injured. Tries breaking and entering, looks through the dog door, and they have a Cujo.
Yeah.
And what do you call that kind of dog?
Is it a Rottweiler? Yeah.
Rottweiler. There you go. I was like, Doberman? No. Dobermans
are lean.
At the pointy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Cujo.
Uh-huh.
Gets chased by the Cujo. Then there's like flowers delivered and like a candygram. And I think a woman was there to.
That candygram was a sex worker, right?
Yeah.
There's a nurse you'd like to.
I am I'm here the nurse to restore like your pluck. And so, yeah. She's there to.
Did you clock who was standing to her left?
Louie Anderson.
Well, I'm Louie Anderson. Yeah.
Just oops, it, all it, right.
Holding some balloons, just kicking it next to her. Looked like a creep ass.
Yeah, man. That didn't make a lot of sense.
No, who sent him that? I guess somebody from the school where it's like, get better. But like,
there's a bunch of shit getting delivered workers? At the same time.
Yeah, it's
like
true.
The sex worker, some creepy thing in like a mask behind the nurse. Did you see that?
Well, I assumed they were there for a full on gangbang. Like, that's what I thought was happening here. Like Louis Anderson with the balloons, dude in the mask. Like we're doing eyes wide shut.
To restore your pluck. Yeah.
A more fun gimp mask. It's like, hey.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought was happening.
And I think that entire truck was full of flowers because later in the movie, when Jeannie gets home, the entire front of the house
that's true
filled with fresh flowers. So yeah, there's a lot of love for Ferris Bueller. So Rooney takes one of the flower pots and hits the dog over the head with it to knock it out.
Yeah.
Dog was doing its job, bro. Yeah.
Dog was doing a dog
in the house.
If you just act normal, he might like lick you in one play and shit. Like he's panicking because you're panicking.
Yeah. So I don't know how he gets 38 tickets over the course of like 2-3 hours, but he does. Leads me to believe Shermer is they don't like people parking on their streets. They want you out of there.
It was a foot of a fire Singapore. Hydrant.
I get
38 tickets though in 2 hours.
You're just walking laps around his car, put a ticket down every time he walks all the way around it.
Yep.
I mean, I fully appreciate when people do that and then the fire department actually needs it and they bust out their windows.
Bust the window out.
Yeah. Love it. Love
great.
It.
Great.
But just giving you, it's probably like a few grand worth of tickets there.
Several $100.
And then they tow him away while he's putting his skin. Let me just try to open my door. No, you've got my keys now too. Just, oh, this is a terrible day.
Oh.
Yeah. But then there's Sloan. Not a lot to say. She doesn't say much.
Oh, pretty girl. That's about all I got.
She's pretty. She's nice to Cameron.
Yeah.
Do you think we got more in the 2 hour and 45 minute cut? Like,
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff, but it's
probably like parents for her and shit and a deep backstory.
Yeah. There's like marriage talk and she's like, sure. Yeah, married. Not today.
High school junior. What the fuck are you talking about?
Right. So they decide, I'm going to spend the day in Chicago. I'm going to take the Ferrari and park it in just some random parking garage that we don't know. And
don't do that. We'll never do that.
And you know what? We'll do the valet. Trust them.
We'll never do that.
Dude, find a point where you can drive up and park it in the farthest corner away from everybody else.
Go on the rooftop of the tallest one you can find.
Yeah. Or take it.
No, it's okay. Like, he'll give him a fiver and the guy will take care of it.
I don't get
it. Not your car, Ferris. It's just not
why anybody
concerned about.
Why anybody thought that was smart or at least take it to someplace super classy where you think they'll show like maybe they'll show some respect.
Yeah, take it to Barrington, hop on the train and go to the city from there.
No, I like that. Take it to the Drake Hotel or the Four Seasons or something and park, have them valet
That's
park
true.
Where they
there's fancy places in Chicago.
I mean, this is like a random like Wacker Drive parking garage.
Yeah, it's a lower Wacker.
Yeah, and they learned it the hard way, like, immediately as they're walking away. These two guys, like, the guys jump over, they jump into the car, not and just zoom down.
Squeal in a parking garage.
Zooming down Wells Street, going way too fast underneath the train. And I guess if they end up making the movie, we'll find out exactly what they did on their day off.
God, Wells.
Wells in the South. Do you need to see their day off? That's the question.
Someone,
no, I'm curious.
It's being written by the Cobra Kai guys. That was it, Schlossberg and whoever.
I don't know them, but
okay. You ever seen Cobra Kai?
I have not watched it. I need to.
All right. It's seven seasons.
It got grading.
It can be a bit much at times.
Okay.
It's about honor. It's okay. All right. All right, Daniel-san. Suck it, Daniel-san.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. So.
There becomes moments in that show where, like, there's no one to root for. And not in, like, a Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul. Like, you're just like, y'all, the stakes are low.
Johnny, you're a cream puff! Okay, Johnny.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm like, but y'all are just punching people in the face and throwing them off the stairwells. Like,
that was horrifying. That I thought that kid, he's dead. He's
Ooh, that kid did.
He's dead. He killed him. He killed him. He's gone. Oh, my God. So they start their Chicago Renaissance. I've done these things in one day. Did not eat it. Shea Quiz, because it's not a thing.
No.
Quiz or this, it's not a thing.
It's Shakey's.
Shakey's pizza.
It's Shakey's pizza. Okay. I did eat Shakey's pizza. But Sears Tower where they do that thing where they put their where they put their forehead grease and ruin
different ruin now.
Ruin the glass.
Hey, got the whole shit leans out.
That
like you're no, to fucking you
can,
die.
You can be the man in the box. Go stand there and just look down like,
oh, terrifying.
Shit.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't want to do that shit.
They go to the board of trade and just start making hand gestures at each other. That's actually pretty cool.
Can you do that? You can just go.
I don't think you can do it anymore. But I did it when I was much younger, and it's pretty cool. Okay. You don't understand what any of this stuff means, but they seem to, and stuff seems to happen. So stuff gets traded.
A lot of yelling.
At the restaurant, he pretends to be Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago, because that's he just found the first party of three and said, that's who I'll be, because fuck it.
They don't fucking know
me. Go for it. Yeah.
Hadn't he just been like, he's like, oh, the Sausage King of Chicago. Like, yeah, that's my dad. I'm Abe Jr.
Good on that. Or also, it's the middle of the day in the middle of the week. They probably have open tables. If not, walk a block any direction. There's 1,000 restaurants in Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that type of lunch would probably be at a place like that.
That's 2 hours.
2 hours every day minimum. Two hours minimum.
Do you know how long it takes to make pancreas? It takes forever.
No, but not 0 minutes.
Yeah. And his dad's there.
Yeah, of course.
Go someplace also, not fancy.
Yeah,
please.
Who's paying for Shakey's? Like, who's paying for this restaurant?
I was going to get into this,
Dine
too.
And Dash.
Okay.
Obvious Dine and Dash situation.
Oh, no. Ferris, when he's in the bathroom talking and his father is in the shitter, apparently doesn't hear him because this is just an internal monologue that's not actually happening. He pulls out a wad and he's got a wad like this thick. He's got cash.
I thought it was all singles. I thought it was all singles.
Could be
a titty bar, huh?
It could be that things were a lot cheaper, but I think he's just from a wealthy family and just has
he carries himself like a kid with affluenza. You're right.
Yeah. Luckily, he's able to get away before his dad sees him, and they all jump into a cab, and You go to the Cubs game.
Wait. So we can go. This is the thing I had, and you know, maybe it's not worth really talking about, but like, his dad is in a stall in the bathroom, so his dad
dumping out.
He's on a business lunch and is like,
clear it out.
His pancreas was undercooked, so he was sick.
Oh yeah. God, dude, that's a good point. I don't know that I've ever like been to any work function and like excuse myself to go take a dump and like I'll be back in like 7 or 8 minutes. Like, no.
Unless I'm sure I can pound it out in like a pee time and then be sure that
no one will think I took a shit. That's a risk. They're gonna know.
It's a risk. It's like, oh, it's gonna take much longer than I thought. God damn it.
Down in the middle of it. Yeah.
So you I can't say there's a line. There's never a line in the men's rooms.
Not at Shakey's in the middle of the day.
I was taking a long piss, guys. Took forever.
Call the Guinness people. I've been pissing for 4 solid minutes.
I did the Superman. I put my hands on my waist like this and just let it go. It was great. Piss.
Mr. Bueller is like a super comfortable pooper and just
everyone knows
whatever
about
hits him.
Maybe he's got bad IBS and everyone just knows and they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You're not popping in and out of the bathroom if you got IBS. Like, you're not. I don't think it makes you more comfortable with pooping in public. No. I think it makes you more.
It makes it worse. Jesus.
Right.
There's no way he goes into a stall to pee. I just don't believe it.
No.
The urinals are right there. So,
no.
Anyway, I mean, sorry to interrupt.
This is, no. I mean, he's the man that would still like piss in a trough. I feel like he's comfortable in a trough situation. So, like, him pissing in a stall, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Cubs game, he catches a ball because, of course, he does.
Of course. No troughs.
But yeah, that's approximately 10 miles away from downtown, 9 miles away. Take forever to get
Wrigleyville?
Up there. Yeah. From where they were at that restaurant.
North. Yeah. That's north by a lot.
Yeah, up Lakeshore Drive to Addison, and that's when no traffic. I mean, it's that's a half hour. I'm like, maybe they get there in like the third inning, stay for a couple innings, and then
we
leave.
We never see them ride the L, do we?
No,
the L existed back then, right?
Stuff. Sure did. You saw the Ferrari zoom right underneath it.
Yeah,
the L
would
was there.
Take cabs around Chicago, just take the fucking L.
I don't know.
Because they're rich kids. I don't know.
I guess. Like, you want to be stuck in traffic all day?
People have never been in the subway. I'm like, what the what?
I just, the efficiency of getting around Chicago in a car, fuck that. That's a nightmare situation.
Right.
And we're going to get to it, especially because there's apparently something going on that should be
again, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week.
Yeah. And I think it's the Star Wars music that plays or something.
It is. And I'm surprised they were able to get that.
I'm pretty sure that George Lucas
is John
Hughes.
During the
atomic car jumps.
Yeah. When it's stolen by the garage attendant.
That's right.
That car is so fucked.
It's
suspension is
ruined. Ruined.
So that is kind of interstitial and all the Chicago stuff, and then you see that I'm like, yeah, they're having the time of their lives. I can't wait to see this movie if it ever gets made. It's gonna be great. Next, they go to the Art Institute, which is back even further south than the restaurant was. Practically
all
in the
way
south
back across the whole city.
Yeah, but their planning is interesting. I think the Cubs game would have been like the last thing, but you know,
just go to a White Sox game. You're in the fucking neighborhood already.
Yeah. I think this is the first time I saw a Sunday afternoon on the island of La Ranjat, with all the points and the
pointillism.
And this is kind of an artsy fartsy part. It's like an instrumental version of a Smith song. There's like Ferris and Sloan like smooching and looking at like stained glass, and then
it goes on for a while.
Cameron's staring at the points, and it gets closer, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, until the face is no longer face and. Mm-hmm. Supposed to say something. I don't give a shit, but I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then there's the parade. Because it's not a day off school kind of a holiday, but it's they got a parade for it.
They really just missed an opportunity to make this Casimir Pulaski Day. Like, that's a real thing. That
What's that?
Was he Revolutionary War?
Yep, he was a German or Austrian mercenary.
I don't know, Polish. That's why it's the Polish celebrating on Casimir Pulaski Day.
Okay.
It's like Polish St. Patrick's.
Von Steuben was German.
Von Steuben was German. Yeah.
I think they were both the soldiers during the Revolutionary War who fought on
I believe
the side
so. Yeah.
But Von Steuben Day is the third Sunday in September. I looked it up.
There you go.
So we're early in the school year.
You missed 9 days already?
Jeez.
I think it's just, they don't name it.
I think it was filmed
the Von Steuben Day.
It was filmed during the Von Steuben Day.
Because I think Casimir Pulaski Day is in October. Yeah, it's we got the day off of school. No one really knew what it was about, but like you can get some poochkies, and you know the Polish people are really excited about it, and that's about it.
They just rolled out the poochkies at Jewelosko the other day, and I said one more week. I'm gonna hold out.
Fucking great.
One more week.
What are poochkies? I'm sorry, what is it?
It's like a jelly donut, basically.
It's a big thing for Fat Tuesday.
Yeah. Mm. Again, the Polish.
Yeah,
it's a whole awesome thing.
Yeah. It's a jelly donut, a lot of powdered sugar, and all sorts of different fillings in there. Raspberry, the lemon ones are really good. Really
ooh, great. Okay, now you got my attention. Woo! I love them.
Great.
I'm sure you got a place down there that I can make
yeah,
you a poochkie.
It's a Z with a line through it.
Poochkie.
A super Z of some sort. A Z with a diagonal line.
We have checks down here. It looks like Paxki.
It could be. It could be Czech Polish. It could they be. It's Eastern Bloc something or other.
Yeah, Central Europe in general. Kolaches
and Kobaseks.
Oh, kolaches. Then you're just put a sausage in a pastry and just eat it up. Nom 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 nom. Okay. So they almost run into Ferris's dad again because the world is too small. We need to expand the world a bit.
Uh huh.
In two separate cabs too. And let me tell you where they were at in the parade. Is about 0.2 miles away from the Art Institute. And they took a cab. I don't know where they were going.
You could see it from there.
I mean, maybe they were trying to get back to the car, but also the garage where the car was at. It's like 0.3
clear
miles.
Clear across town. Yeah, they're not good at this.
They aren't particularly good at it, but I think Ferris kind of has to escape so he doesn't see his dad, but ends up on a float, singing. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, not singing. Lip syncing to Donkashane and then Twist and Shout, and it's iconic. And the people go fucking
lose
crazy.
Their shit.
It starts off as this lame parade. Everyone's just like, fine, and then the entire street is just filled with people dancing, going crazy.
You got that whole group of black people on the steps doing the Thriller dance.
I was going to ask.
What was that? What are we doing? Choreographed black people.
Why are we doing that? Just doing the Thriller dance.
I don't know. Why? No, why?
In the 245 version, I'm sure they have a whole storyline.
Yeah.
I just didn't. The way they shoot it, too, like they're shooting from below on a stair and the people just start emerging. And then they're going down the stairs
it's so weird. That's not what we do.
Like, what the fuck? Why is it just black? Like, if it had been a multi-racial ethnic group of people who were just really into it, but it's just all these black people. Just
even if it's all black people wearing like a uniform, like or part of a drill team, like that would also be fine. But just like regular civilians of all ages, or old folks, little kids.
No, if it was this? Who was that team that we'd always see in parades?
Oh,
the Jesse White Tumblers.
There you go. I was going to say Jesse White Tumblers Circus, but no, Jesse White Tumblers. You're right.
Our former Secretary of State he sponsored his own tumbling team, and they were amazing. All these parades, they were incredible. They were amazing. But it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, he had
a former Secretary of State.
Yeah, Jesse White.
Jesse White. He had the job for about 78 years.
He did it for a super long time.
But
yeah,
he was a former baseball player or something. And
he probably was.
To sponsor a tumbling team.
Yeah, so like a pack of like 20 black male tumblers that were just like doing all the flips, show up at like a pep rally or some shit or a ribbon cutting ceremony. Yeah, the Jesse White Tumblers.
Very cool.
It's genuinely very cool.
If it was something like this, but it starts off, I'm like, shake it, baby. Yeah. And then the large group
then
of
the Thriller
black
dance
people, like, just all
breaks out.
I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? But yeah, everyone's having a great time. There's confetti being thrown all over the place. And Even Ferris's dad is up in his off, and he's like, "Oh, I like this song. I can hear it through the glass. This is great. Jesus. I like this."
Oh, Illinois yeah. Secretary of State. I thought he was like right. a yeah.
oh, not
like
a United. Federal. No. Illinois yeah. specifically.
I was like, "How have I never heard of this man and his tumblers?"
Illinois Secretary of State.
Henry Kissinger tumblers.
Oh, no. I appreciate when people do the flips and the dips. It's really
rotten
really
pieces, something. Kissinger.
It's quite good.
It's straight to hell. Bowling pal? What is happening?
Right, the Condoleezza Rice tumblers. I would love it.
It'd be good. It'd be really good. So that, hey man, great win end of the day. I think.
Oh.
Yeah,
partying in literally in the streets, people going crazy for something that you're doing.
Really hand waved how he got into the parade. He just all of a sudden was in the middle of the parade.
No,
they're all just on the street with like on the other side of the barricade.
Yes,
he disappears, and then he's like in the middle of a bunch of women in like German gowns.
We're in dirndls.
And then they're covering him, and then like whoa, and then he like comes out like the pistol in a flower or whatever. The
just
middle
don't
of the flower
know.
Thing.
Really? Don't know how we got to that part of it.
I don't know. And they know what song you wanted to hear because he sang it earlier in the movie. Like, this is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
Go ahead and play it and I'll lamp sync and it'll be great.
My God.
Good day. So let's just take the car home and it'll be great. We got till 6. We have plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks good. Car looks fine. Starts up good and they can drive. But as they're driving home, then he asks Cameron, what was the mileage when we left? And it's about 130 miles more than what he thought it was. And
these fuckers were all over the place.
I think one of his eyes like popped out of his head for a second and just goes kind of loses it.
Boy dissociates.
Yeah. Ferris, because I think he's part sociopath. Has no reaction, but ooh, this is gonna make Cameron sad, but I don't feel anything. So
mm-hmm.
So wait, I want to come back to the tumblers for a second because there's a photo on the website.
The Jesse White tumblers, yes.
Yeah.
There's an institution. Moment in the movie where like you just see a person like Superman jumping up and this photo
that'd be
is
them.
the same exact thing. Sorry for the listeners that you cannot see this.
We'll put in the group.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It might be the tumblers.
I would not at all be surprised. For certain. Yeah, those are the guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's them.
When I saw that shot in the movie, I was like, what the hell? And now I'm seeing it. I think they're the Jesse White tumblers.
Look how high in the air that man is.
Like, terrifying. He's
10 feet up.
How do you let go?
Is there a trampoline back there?
I mean, they have trampolines.
How do you let go like that?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I can't be that free in the air. No, I need to be in an airplane and we need to be going somewhere and being on the ground soon. That's the only time I'm gonna be up in the air that much.
This website.
Yeah. He has a stroke and kind of loses it and just goes catatonic for a moment.
They reach
and try to calm him down. And Ferris talks to the camera and says, said something about Cameron. Like he puts the pussy on a pedestal. He's gonna marry the first woman that he has sex with, and she's gonna.
I don't think he mentioned Pussalia, but
no, he didn't call it Pussalia. But
this is pre Pussalia, but that's kind of what he was
basically
saying.
What he's saying. He's gonna marry the first girl that gives him some ass because it's gonna be like the pinnacle of his life or whatever.
But and Jesus, she's gonna treat him like shit. I was like, you can't respect anyone who treats you like that. I'm like, that's an interesting way.
So you don't respect Cameron, huh?
Not really at all. I don't think he respects him at all. Likes him, but doesn't think he's much of a man. So that doesn't bring him out of it, just hanging out by the beach or anything. But they try to go on the jacuzzi. He kind of loses it. Jumps into the pool to try to drown himself. That seems to wake him up.
And that'll do it.
But they've wasted probably an hour and a half, and they still have to go back, and they still have to go back to the house and drive it in reverse long enough to get the miles off.
Also, whose pool is that? Whose jacuzzi are they in?
Ferris's. It's the pool from the beginning of the movie when he was like in the backyard.
Oh,
and the jacuzzi,
right?
Took a jump in the jacuzzi. It's good.
Was Sloan in like a nightie? Because she. What was she wearing in this scene? It was a lot of like satin lace.
It was like a silk camisole thing. Yeah. It was her undergarments.
Mm-hmm. Ferris's was the most interesting. He was wearing like a Tarzan. Like there was like it was like a piece of animal fur that was kind of like jagged, jaggedly cut. Like, well, that's very weird.
A Fred Flintstone swimsuit, if you will.
That's exactly what it looked like. I'm like, that's probably like, that's probably not supposed to get wet. I don't know why you would jump in something like that kind of animal fur into the water, but
no.
So he wakes up and they're just like, all right, we'll just take the mouths off and it should be all good. And they discover that that's not how it works. Because once the mouths are on,
they're on.
Whether you go forwards or backwards, they're on. And during this entire time too, when he was getting all those flowers and everything like that, people like raising money because they say he needs like a kidney, Ferris, and
ends up on the
Wrigley Field sign. Say,
how
Ferris,
in the hell he called in sick for school 3 hours ago,
and ends up on the water tower when his sister is arrested. The police chief's like, "We're really rooting for your son. I hope he's going to be okay." I'm like, "Okay." And Save Ferris, also a ska band, if you're into that. They had a couple hit songs in the 90s. Out. Yeah.
I think they were the band in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh.
That sounds right.
They might have been.
I know they did a cover of Come On Eileen that I enjoy, that I think is quite good.
I don't know if that was them, but that was Mighty Mighty Boss Tones that was in 10 Things I Hate About
You. You like that song.
It might have been.
I'm pretty sure it's
Come On Eileen. Yeah.
No, I know.
I know.
I'm familiar with Coming On Eileen. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not what I meant.
Well, it sounds like you're telling me what to do.
It's kind of what I meant. But back to pre-Dirty Dancing Jennifer Grey. I love Jennifer Grey. This was a renaissance. Dirty Dancing in this particular role. She tries to catch her brother in the act, gets home, and Mr. Rooney's there, just in the house. The way they jump, she kicks him directly in the face either twice, or they did a double take and it's the same kick. Which
well, in my version, it was three times.
She kicked him once. It was in the editing.
Was in the editing.
My thing is, you know this man, like you recognize him, you for sure know who he is. So like, you might be like weirded out by him, but you're not like, there's a stranger at my house. Like, you know that's Mr. Rooney.
I think your first thing, you're just freaking out that there's a man in my house who also jumps up and goes, and just kick, kick, kick.
But then she called the police, and I'm like, well, no, you know who this man is.
Yeah, and no, I'm
calling the cops.
I'm calling the cops on Mr. Rooney. Why the fuck are you in my house?
That's fair.
Or maybe she freaked out and just, I don't know. But yeah, she calls the police, but they end up arresting her for filing a false report because Mr. Rooney had gotten out and there was nobody there.
So, American Nightmare. See, that's why I thought of it.
Just like
shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's at the police station. Charlie Sheen's there. He spend a little more time worrying about yourself, less time worrying about what your brother's doing. That's kind of correct, a little bit, but also it's justice is a good thing. He should get in trouble for doing shit sometimes. He
sure should.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think he's right. Just worry more about your own shit. Mm-hmm. Just let the rest go. Cameron about Ferris. Everything always works for him. There's nothing he can't handle. I can't handle anything school parents future, but Ferris can do anything. It's true.
It's true. It
seems
just
to be right.
It's seems sad because it's like, well, yeah, Ferris can do anything because he's 17. Like there's consequences coming for this guy sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
his charm will wear out.
Right. Yeah, quickly.
Senator Ferris Bueller.
Oh God.
Vice President Ferris Bueller.
It feels like Vice President Ferris Bueller.
Something like that. So once the miles aren't coming off, Cameron kind of loses it. Starts thinking like, living just in fear of my parents all the time and all this shit, and just says, you know what, fuck it, and just starts kicking the shit out of the car. Stuff you're not going to be able to fix.
It's a crazy decision.
Bad. I'm not a big car guy. I like cars, they're fine, but you don't kick Ferraris. You don't. You shouldn't do that.
No. I'm not an Italian car guy, but like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, there's got to be other. This is like a car showroom. There's got to be a cheaper car you can fuck up in here. There's a Mercedes in there somewhere, I bet.
Yeah. No, there was some kind of old like jalopy.
Oh, there was like there was. That's true.
I remember seeing that. Right, you want to kick
jalopy, but
you want to kick a that jalopy over there. It's the one where if you put the chair in the back, you could put Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies in there, and you could kind of look like that a little.
Some kind of a Studebaker.
But
fuck that thing up.
Yeah, he's bitching about his dad. It's like, who do you love? You love a car. You don't love me. I'm like, okay, that's. So that's feeling him. He's freaking out.
Go get your man. Like, he's mad at him.
Yeah, just as it starts to come off the blocks, and he's like, oh, okay, I'll hold off this final kick. All right, talk. You know what? Fuck it. One final kick. Falls off the blocks. Still rolling in reverse.
Yep.
Out the back of the garage. Into the ravine, which there are a couple in Illinois, but not many. Into one of the few ravines in Illinois.
And what are the odds?
It is done. It is done. It is not. I'm surprised it's barely
they didn't
a car
make
anymore.
It explode because you know back in the day, car falls off equipment blows up right away. Maybe they didn't make it blow up.
They actually built 3 copies of the original car from a kit. They had one original that they had for super close-ups, but when it's actually driving around, it's kit cars, and apparently they were shoddily built, rarely started when they were supposed to, and. And the most fun that they had was launching it out the back and just destroying it because they were so pissed off.
I get that.
That's how shitty the cars were. But
that's kit cars in general. I feel like they're always kind of loose, bolts rattling.
So Ferris is like, no, you know what? We'll wait here for your dad. I'll take responsibility. It's my fault. And he's like, no, you know what? I'm okay now. I'll finally be able to talk to my dad about something. It won't be fun, but we'll see what happens.
Don't like, do
your
it.
Your dad's gonna fucking murder you. You are
gonna die.
You're not gonna be alive for however many months of school you have left. But it seems like he's ready for it. And that's the end of Cameron. I think he died.
Yeah, he died.
Pretty sure he died.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P.
Because that's also the house too. The house just
house fucked up.
Yeah, I'm sure that It's just not good.
$180,000 of damage you lost to the house in this car. Like, you're fucked. Yeah.
When Jeannie's still at the police station, she introduces one after making out with Charlie Sheen. My name is Jeannie, but a lot of guys call me Shauna.
Trying to sound cool.
Was that a
what?
Shauna? Shauna. I'm like, what is this?
No, I would imagine this is something that was cut out. This had to have been a scene from earlier where she pretended to be Shauna or something. It had to be some kind of an explanation for this.
Yeah. I didn't get it.
I didn't. Of course not.
I didn't get it. Mom's there, pissed off. But she's released, so they're going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a race. It's a race.
It's a race.
It's Ferris on foot wearing 3 different pairs of shoes. There's bad continuity. Really
sure
bad.
Is.
Really? So
starts off in dress shoes, then tennis shoes, and then like some kind of slippers toward the end there. But you got to pay very, very close attention. I was seeing them like, those are not the same shoes. This is crazy. Then there's his dad, and then there's his mom and Jeannie, who he runs into for a second. His mom, of course, looking over in one direction and does not look forward into the person.
And Jeannie wouldn't have said, hey, there's Ferris right in front of us, Mom.
Nope, did not say a word.
No.
Did not say a word.
Bust him at home. No, just bust him now.
Instead, we're going to speed and just potentially kill some children walking in the neighborhood and just drive as fast as we can. She picks up a tail from a cop because she just blows through a stop sign around
she's
a corner. She's not stopping and just going. Dad gets stuck behind some old lady, but manages to get around her. I'm like, this is an old lady who, A, car's too big for her.
Mm-hmm.
Can't look over just, and it's going like this throughout the entire.
Old people love a big car.
They do.
They know they're going to get hit.
Love a Cadillac.
Like, I gotta have
so much.
A Lincoln? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But makes them feel safe, and they take up the whole road.
Yeah. Yep. Of course.
I'm gonna hit to. Shit. Shit's gonna hit me. I need to be comfortably in the middle.
Driving a tank.
Eventually gets around, but that's I think Dad's got a straight shot to the house. Ferris on foot just starts cutting through yards and shit, steals some guy's Pepsi who's making some very ugly looking steak on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
Stops and introduces himself to a couple of young ladies who are sunbathing in the shade, which is weird.
Weird place to lay.
Trying to get some sun. Wow. And it's 5:30 in the afternoon, too. So I'm not the best sun, but you know,
it's September. Yeah, you're getting the dregs.
It's definitely a choice. So he gets there at the same time as Jeannie and his mom does. He tries to go in the back. They're going in the front. And Rooney is there just looking about as fucked up as you possibly can look.
He looks a mess.
He looks a mess. He's like, how does it sound to be in high school for another year? But Jeannie covers for him. Mm-hmm. Very cute. Ends up being a big sis. Did not expect that. It is
very cute.
At all. But it's because she didn't speak as though she knew that he was there earlier, but it's like, you left your wallet on the kitchen floor, so you better get out of here. And we'll just let it go. So he manages to get upstairs, get in bed. Mom and Dad are none the wiser. Probably owes his sister one, and that's about it. And then you hear the D-Bow Bow song,
yep.
Which is great.
D-Bow Bow.
Wow. Dun, dun, dun.
Well,
and there's a post-credit scene with Rooney on the school bus talking to some kid with two thick glasses. And then if you wait till the very end, Ferris is like, you still here? It's over. Go home.
Yeah.
And which has been parroted in a lot of things. But I don't remember the school bus thing. And I'm like sitting here watching it. And Bill goes to me, you want a gummy bear? It's been in my pocket.
What
are you talking about?
I bet this is the first time you ever smelled the inside of a school bus. I'm like, what? Not only is the kid got the weird glasses, a weird kid says weird things. So
yeah. Well, and then I saw that. I was like, I've never seen this produce fair. I was like, do I want it? Yeah, I want a gummy bear. We have gummy bears in the house. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's soft. It's in my pocket. Oh, God.
That's his favorite line from this movie, which I had never seen before until today.
One of the things we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was started big things at the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. Dave, who are we going to dive on this week?
I'd heard this name, knowing improv comedy in Chicago being as big as it was. Del Close plays the English teacher who's just, in what way? I forgot exactly what, but just those first three words that he says, I'm like, oh, so it's going to be like this.
Yeah.
Actor, writer, but mostly known as a teacher. He's the co-founder of Improv Olympic. It's pretty much Second City Improv Olympic.
Yeah.
He's one of the originators of improv comedy as we see it today.
Wow.
Is he the Herald, or is that someone, like, did he come up with that game?
I don't think he came up with the Herald.
Okay. Trying to remember. Never mind.
Not sure, but a lot of that stuff, it was either inspired by him or he had a hand in creating a lot of it. But his notable students, this is quite the list. You got your Dan Aykroyd, Jim and John Belushi, John Candy, Stephen Colbert, Andy Dick, Bob Odenkirk, Chris Farley, Bill Murray, Mike Myers, Amy Poehler, Harold Ramis, Gilda Radner, Vince Vaughn, Eric Stone Street, Amy Sedaris. He was also an actor, too. He was in Beware of the Blob, American Graffiti, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, obviously. He played one of the aldermen in The Untouchables.
Man. Wow.
Just a couple of... He is... And anyone who you ask who's had any part in... any star that became big and did improv early on, they were inspired in some way by Del Close. And if you know Improv Olympic, I don't think the theater's there anymore. It was up on the north side near Wrigley Field, but he was big time.
Wow.
So, I'd seen this movie a million times. I'm like, who is that guy?
Yeah.
And that's who it was.
I'm over here looking at Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson.
Well, guys, that does bring us to the end of this episode. And just like the end of the school year, that means it's time to add some superlatives. Jeannie is most likely to say she has a thing for the bad boys. Sloane is most likely to see Ferris after one semester of college and realize she's grown up and he hasn't. Cameron is most likely to be an unindicted co-conspirator, and Ferris is most likely to be diagnosed with malignant sociopathy. And dude, he's a fucking bad person. Like, he's a bad guy using everybody at all times. This next movie is my pick. I talked about this one when I picked Rad, that I was trying to look for a free movie and couldn't find one. Didn't even try this week. We're going to 2003. This was a movie that I watched and was unprepared for how fucked up it is. It's not Requiem for a Dream. It's close. We're doing 13. That movie, I watched it like two times, I think. And I was like, that's enough.
Two?
Yeah. Well, I worked at the video game store at the time. And I got free rentals. And Sex Preamble wanted to watch it. So we did. And then I think like the next day, Evan Rachel Wood was on Oprah, like talking about, like, oh, you wrote this? You did this whole shit? And so then I wanted to watch it again. So I'm like, I have it here. I'll just watch it again. No, I didn't need to watch it again. Once was enough times. Yes. My kid is 5. I don't want him to become 13. So that's what we're talking about next. Guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Recap and Gown Pod. That is RECAPNGOWNPOD. And join our Facebook group, the Recap and Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, we'd love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Jeannie, go piss up a flagpole. Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.